Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to call the House Transportation Committee to order. Today is Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. We are in the Barnes Committee Room, Room 124 of the Alaska State Capitol Building. Let the record reflect that the time is 3:51 p.m. Today we have present Representative McKay, Representative Sumner, Representative Stutes, Representative Mina, and myself, Chair McCabe. The staff assisting us today, as always, Recording Secretary Linda Jensen, Moderator Susan Quigley, and my committee aides, Angela Steffel. Thank you, ladies, for your service. If everyone could please silence their cell phones. We have three items of business today. HB 355, an act relating to the duties of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and relating to a statewide public and community transit plan. It's my plan to hear the bill and hear invited testimony and set the bill aside. After that, we'll take up HB 233. We have a CS to adopt, and I'll look to the committee to moving out that bill. And then we will close the meeting by offering HB 332, the sale of the Alaska Railroad. The sponsor will give a short update, and we'll discuss where we at. So, where we're at. Let's start with HB 355. Representative Genevieve Mina and her staff, Remington Purcell, are here to present the bill. If you could come to the table and place your name on the record and begin your introduction. Look at you guys, you're fast. Already there. Okay,
thank
off
you.
We go.
Thank you, Chair McCabe, and to the esteemed members of the House Transportation Committee. For the record, Genevieve Mina, House District 19 Representative, and I'm here with my staff, Remington Purcell. I am very pleased to be introducing House Bill 355, which is a bill to expand the scope of the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to include community and public transportation. I'll be very brief with my bill introduction because of the committee timing and also with invited testimony. Currently, the Alaska DOT and Public Facilities stewards the state's transportation system. Their statutory responsibilities include studying alternative means of improving transportation in the state. They are required to study alternative modes of transportation in urban areas, but not necessarily for other parts of the state. This bill seeks to expand the scope of DOT in terms of their long-term statewide transportation planning to ensure local input by public, tribal, and community transit and community members in terms of planning for transit programs and improving Alaska's multimodal network. And I just want to provide a couple of different examples of existing community transit programs, such as Anchorage's People Mover, Nome's Tribal Transit Program, Juneau's Capital Transit, Tok's Interior Alaska Bus Line. Local collaboration is really important, and I am also very pleased to be introducing this from the advocacy of the Alaska Mobility Coalition, who has advocated for the importance of public transportation and alternative means of transportation for people with disabilities and other individuals who don't have access to a car. If the committee would like to hear a sexual analysis, happy to have my staff read it, or we can go towards testimony.
Sure, that'd be great. I know you didn't intentionally leave out Valley Transit. You just kind of forgot that I live in the
I wanted you to bring it up.
No worries. Representative Stutes, we'll dispense with a sectional, unless you really want to hear Remy speak. Okay.
Along that line, I noticed you left out the Alaska Marine Highway System as well, which is also public modal transportation.
Thank you.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Now we're in trouble. Okay. I don't think we need the sectional necessarily, so I appreciate you bringing this forward. Do we have any questions from other committee members or other questions from committee members? Okay. Hearing no questions, I think we will set this bill aside. You have invited testimony. My apologies. Who's the invited testimony? Oh, Millie Ryan, Board President, Alaska Mobility Coalition. I should read my notes better.
Chair McCabe and members of the Transportation Committee, my name is Millie Ryan. I live here in Juneau. I'm the president of the Alaska Mobility Coalition, a nonprofit organization that brings together transit providers, riders, and advocates. Our mission is to increase and improve transportation options so that people who cannot drive can get to work, doctor appointments, and participate in community life. On behalf of the Alaska Mobility Coalition, I wholeheartedly support House Bill 355. We appreciate all the work that the Department of Transportation and Public Facility does in terms of transit, but we also firmly believe that adding transit to the department's duties elevates its importance. It's one thing to be low on a priority list. It's another not to be on the list at all. The Alaska Mobility Coalition also supports the development of a statewide public and community transit plan. Working together, we can leverage resources, meet a variety of transportation needs more effectively and efficiently, combine travel options, and develop sustainable partnerships. Transportation is more than just transporting people. It's about people's ability to get to where they live, to work, stores, post offices, family, friends, and community activities. Without transportation, people become isolated, lonely, depressed, and more dependent on others, which in turn affects their physical, emotional, and behavioral health. With transportation, people are able to work, get to doctor's appointment, shop, worship, volunteer, and be part of their communities. And I'd like to add, these are all things that those of us who are still driving take for granted. Thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony on House Bill 355.
Thanks, Ms. Ryan. Are there any questions? Representative Mina, no? Okay. No other questions. Thanks, Ms. Ryan. I appreciate your testimony. Next, we have Michelle Giralt. I hope I said that right. CEO of Hope Community Resources, and she is on the line. Ms. Giralt, if you can hear me, please place your name on the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chairman McCabe. I am Michelle Giroux, and I am the Executive Director of Hope Community Resources, which is a nonprofit that serves Alaskans with intellectual and developmental disabilities through in six regions of the state. And I'm also the board president for the Key Coalition of Alaska. And the Key Coalition is a statewide organization that advocates for issues related to Alaskans with disabilities. One of our key platform issues this session was to support the Alaska Mobility Coalition's advocacy for enhanced transportation. And I think for people with disabilities, more than anything, in order to get to work, you need adequate transportation. And even in our urban areas, we're still challenged with people having access to transportation, access to getting to transportation, and in rural areas, it becomes even more complicated. So as the board president, I'm representing the coalition in full support of this bill, and as a leader of a nonprofit that struggles to help people get access to where they want to go, we are in full support of doing more in our state to elevate transportation access for Alaskans with disabilities. Thank you for the time today.
Thank you, Ms. Giroux. I'm sorry I butchered your name at the front, and I appreciate your testimony. Next, we will have Patrick Reinhardt, Executive Director, Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. Mr. Reinhardt, please place your name on the record and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Patrick Reinhardt. I'm from Homer, Alaska. I am the Executive Director of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Ed. I really appreciate the committee hearing this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I want to thank Representative Mina for bringing it forward. We have brought forward this issue along with the State Independent Living Council and the Key Coalition and many other groups because year after year, we hear about the importance of transportation for the population we're concerned with. And for us, it's people with disabilities. But it's not just people with disabilities that depend on these systems. It's seniors, everybody who doesn't drive, as Ms. Ryan pointed out. There are many people that don't drive in this state and are dependent upon systems that are robust and work in our communities. So adding this duty to the Department of Transportation to kind of oversee a plan really does elevate our game in terms of what we're going to support in transportation for people with disabilities and seniors. So we appreciate you hearing the bill. We hope it does move forward and that we add this as one of those duties as part of the enabling statute of the department. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reinhardt. So we also have online for questions, Mr. Andy Mills and Mr. Taylor from the DOT. And Mr. Mills, maybe you just want to let us know if you actually have some testimony or if you're just here for questions.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Andy Mills, Special Assistant and Legislative Liaison for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. The Commissioner had some great conversations with the Alaska Mobility Coalition, and they are, as are many operators, great partners in transit. And so much of this legislation, the Department looks as individuals and representatives trying to advance the conversation. As you'll see in the analysis of the fiscal note, there are quite a few things that the Department is already doing in the area of transit under many of the things that are looking to be codified. I know you have other business, so we may skip that unless, of course, the committee would like a brief explanation from Mr. Taylor, who handles transit grants, could give you an idea of what the Department is already doing along the lines of what the bill calls for. But there are certainly pieces such as the rural and remote on Section A5 that the Department sees as a very positive addition, given that urban is currently only listed. I will note, just as a general standpoint, while transit is certainly something the Department wants to prioritize with other modes, that many of these statutes where this is being added do not list any other mode. And so just from a policy perspective, we'll make sure that legislators are aware that this would add transit and not include any other modes. Right now, all of these areas seek to focus on all modes, multimodal and intermodal. And so not to detract from the conversation, just to say that, that this would single out one particular mode and add it in a few sections, and we would want to perhaps have additional conversations about how to tailor that in a way that accomplishes what's being asked. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll be quiet for a moment. And again, if anyone wants that detailed list of what we are currently do with transit grants, Mr. Taylor's on the line.
Thank you, Mr. Mills. And anybody want to hear from Mr. Taylor and the list of things that the DOT already does? Okay, so we'll dispense with anything from Mr. Taylor. Thank you for being here for questions, sir. Any other questions from any of the other committee members? Representative Stutes?
I don't have a question. I have a comment. And my comment is, having a disabled nephew in Kodiak, we're very fortunate because our senior citizen provides transportation. It isn't just the transportation. It's the continual, the routine of the life that transportation provides to a lot of these disabled people. They get in a routine, and being able to depend on this transportation to get them back and forth to work or to get them back and forth to school or whatever it is on a daily basis makes a huge difference in their whole life. And it's amazing, and it's just a critical issue. So I'm really happy you brought this forward.
Thank you, Representative Stutes. Anyone else? Okay, seeing no other questions, thanks, everyone. I appreciate you being here today, and I'm going to set this bill aside. Next on our agenda, HB 233. The short title is Rates Motor Vehicle Warranty Work. We've heard this bill adopted two amendments, and all members should have a copy of the CS and the explanation of changes. In short, the changes includes amendments we adopted last Saturday. The CS includes amendments. And my staff will take us through an explanation of changes. We'll hear from the sponsor, and then is my hope that you will help me move the bill. Are there any questions from committee members before we get started? Okay, seeing none, Ms. Morris, if you would please put your name on the record and run us through the changes.
Certainly. Good afternoon, Chairman McCabe, members of the House Transportation Committee. For the record, my name is Julie Morris, staff to Chair McCabe. There were two amendments adopted by this committee to HB 233, and I'll explain the changes. Beginning on page 1, line 12, page 2, line 2, Section 2 was amended to synchronize the rates and time allowances for manufacturers and dealers, aligning them with widely recognized independent labor guides like Chilton's, ALLDATA, and ProDemand, which are commonly used across the industry. The second change is on page 2, line 9, page 3, line 22, AS 4525, 300, Unfair Practices, and added a subsection 8, which prevents the manufacturer from passing on extra costs incurred for warranty work to the dealer through additional charges like surcharges, administrative fees, or any other supplementary fees. Third change is a technical change on page 3, line 23, section 5 is remunerated. That concludes the summary of changes. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Morris. So before we go any further with discussion, we need to adopt the CS. So Vice Chair Vance.
Chair McCabe, I move committee substitute for House Bill 233, Work Order 33-LS1042/B as the committee's working document.
Okay, I will object for purposes of discussion. So any questions, any discussion from the committee? Representative Stutz.
Thank you. I'm just curious. I spoke with the representative if there has been any movement on way of a compromise. I had the people representing the manufacturers, their lobbyists, come into my office with a copy of a compromise that the manufacturers had put forward. Now, the last time I spoke with the representative, he hadn't seen it. I spoke with the senator, the maker of this document, asked him if he had seen it. He had said no, so I took him up to his office, what was left in my office, and I'm just kind of curious. I find it rather odd that the maker of this bill and the sponsor here in the House hadn't heard anything along those lines, and so maybe you have.
Likewise, neither have I seen or heard anything of that. I was hopeful, under Section 2, so in line 11 of the CS, it does say, unless otherwise agreed to by the manufacturer and the new motor vehicle dealer, which would seem to give them ample opportunity to make a compromise. I haven't seen anything in that path. So I don't know what to tell you. So seeing no other questions, perhaps Representative Tomaszewski would like to come up and your staff and place your names on the record and give us your thoughts on the committee substitute and the changes made.
Thank you, Chairman McCabe. For the record, Frank Tomaszewski, Representative District 34. And to Representatives Stutz's question about any kind of compromise, I have seen absolutely nothing on a compromise. As far as the changes to the CS, put out by the committee, I am in full support with all the changes that have been implemented in the CS, and I just ask you to go ahead and kick it out of committee today. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Any additional questions, committee? Okay, if there are no additional questions, I will remove my objection. And seeing no objections, no further objections, my Vice Chair Vance, may I please have a motion?
I move House Transportation Committee substitute for HB 233 Work Order 33-LS1042/B from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Thank you, Vice Chair Vance. So seeing no objection, HB 233 moves from committee as amended. Thank you, Representative Tomaszewski. Tomaszewski. I know how to say it, and I still struggle with it. I'm sorry, Frank.
Shevsky.
Okay. Our next item is HB 332, the sale of the Alaska Railroad. We're going to continue our discussion on the Alaska Railroad. So if the bill sponsor, Representative Sumner, and his staff could come to the table, if you care to, and give us an update.
The bill appears to be intact as originally introduced. As far as an update, I think I'd mentioned before, we had some contact with the parties that had facilitated selling other public railroads and private offerings. And I think the bill is an interesting opportunity to at least take a look at, I think, probably the best way we could sell the Alaska Railroad. Should the committee wish to entertain that? And I suppose if there's any questions, but I think, you know, there have been no amendments as of yet.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? Representative Mina.
Oh, I don't have a question.
Okay, grab your mic like you might have an important thing to say. Representative Stutz.
What is the next committee of referral on this?
Finance.
Through the chair.
It has to go to finance.
It doesn't go to resources?
This, no.
Okay. Oh, I think it's a great bill. And I think it's done its job. It really got the attention of the railroad, and hopefully it wakes them up and says, we need to do something instead of being a holding company.
Yeah, well, yeah, notwithstanding that, I mean, I think it's incumbent on the state to take a look at its assets every once in a while and say, is this still doing what we intended to do when we bought it? Or should we just monetize it and use the money for, say, Cooley Inlet Gas or a gas line? Or
reception.
Or Mr. Chair, possibly purchasing more ferries.
I like that.
Yeah, the Tustamina replacement.
Yeah.
So we have been contacted as well by BMO Investments. Their firm performs valuations of rail companies through their railroad M&A merger and acquisition advisory practice. They recently served as the M&A sell-side financial advisor to the city of Cincinnati, Ohio, on its $1.6 billion sale of the Cincinnati Southern Railroad to Norfolk Southern. They have also worked with another state-owned railroad on valuation work for their rail assets. And they're interested, actually, in working with the state of Alaska on their annual railroad evaluation requirement and run structured sell-side sale processes for the state to solicit bids and RFPs from the rail and transportation market for our rail asset to help us better understand the opportunities for the state. They do believe this asset would be very well received by the market. And frankly, this is not the only group that has contacted us and said, hey, we're kind of interested. So BMO would like to know how they can provide their services to run a structured bid process for the House Transportation Committee and the state to ensure market-based valuation of the asset has been attained for us. So we've been trying to schedule time. It just hasn't worked out with our schedule, you know, on the floor and everything else. So you all understand that. I will say that I'm a little bit frustrated that the CEO of the railroad sat in another committee recently, a couple days ago, and basically said the same thing he has said for the last several months. Hey, we are really interested, but you got to come up with a customer. Well, wait a minute. Who came up with Royal Caribbean? Did they approach the railroad? The railroad approached them. So we have begged them. I have personally begged them to help us find customers. We have a list of interested parties, a full page long from the Mat-Su Borough on people who have said, we would love to build in Port McKenzie. We are ready to pull the trigger, but you got to have a rail spur there. You got to have transportation. I've said this for months. Transportation, the rail spur, is the key to developing Port McKenzie, and Port McKenzie is the key to further development in the interior in the Mat-Su Borough. So, in fact, there was one of our favorite bloggers, Jeff Landfield, said something about it today. Hey, I got a great idea. Let's bring gas down to Fairbanks and put it on the railroad and go south. Well, I doubt seriously that anybody in Anchorage is going to want a railroad train full of LNG cars going through downtown Anchorage, let alone through Jaybird, if they could even get them there. So had we built Point McKenzie when we should have, we would have options right now for LNG, for the Cook Inlet gas issue that we've all been struggling with. So I think we should have done it. So the Navy will be bringing a ship in, I think, next year. During one of their exercises, they're going to park it at Port McKenzie for specifically to resupply the exercise in Cook Inlet and just outside of Cook Inlet, and they'll be there for 3 weeks. Port McKenzie is a viable port, and it's not just what did I hear somebody called it today? It's some sort of money pit that's waiting to happen. I think we are ready to pull the trigger. So the question is, who's going to do it? Who's going to build the trigger? Many financing opportunities. We've listened to them in here, and we really need to get on with it. So, Representative Stutes.
Oh, thank you. I do have a question. Has anybody on this committee seen any numbers? I mean, I keep hearing, well, the railroads, you know, it's not making any money. It's losing money. But all the property they own is what's subsidizing it. And I'm curious if anybody's actually seen any numbers and what the situation is, and to what degree is it being subsidized by the rental income that they get off their property? Because it sounds to me like they're just kind of, you know, they can do it because they have this extra property and they're not so interested in making the railroad a profitable railroad because they don't have to. Well, so I was just curious.
That has been brought up to me. Somebody said, well, we don't have a railroad. We have a real estate company with a rail problem. And, I might agree with that. I'm not exactly sure. But I do know that we have a state with a resource development problem, and the railroad needs to be part of developing that. Representative Sumner.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, it's interesting that you brought up the reporter Jeff Landfield's, I suppose, post or blog, if you will. But I think that's interesting in light of the fact that we heard that the railroad has unique bonding ability, even outside of construction of rail, that they could actually do such a project, and such a project would be much more cargo moving south from Fairbanks. Right. So I wonder if our railroad would look into something like that. I feel like they have a lot of missed opportunity, unfortunately, and I don't believe that they do pursue those sort of opportunities, but I read that, and it looked like a very unique and possibly feasible proposal.
I don't disagree with that statement at all. Representative Mina.
Thank you, Chair McCabe. Through the chair, I think to Rep. Stutes' question, just on the numbers, I do recall it might have been either in the Finance Subcommittee or in the Standing Committee that they have done their reports on their financials, breaking them down on property. So we've received a part of that. I think just one other perspective that I do want to add in this conversation is the uniqueness of the Alaska Railroad having both freight and passenger service. And the reason why the railroad was created was for resource development, was to move freight. And so that should be a component that should not go away. However, it does make me a bit sad to see the decline in the passenger service and how much more inaccessible it's become for an everyday Alaskan. It is awesome for tourism, and I have a lot of people that I know and folks that come up to work on the railroad during the summertime because it is such a great asset for tourists. But I wish there was more accessibility for passenger service or commuter rail, et cetera, for Alaskans. And I think there's more likelihood to have that interest for passenger service via a public corporation versus privatizing it. And I'll say that the only time I've ever been on the railroad was in sixth grade when they paid for everybody in the school district to go on the railroad to Seward. And we couldn't even do the whole way front and back. We bused to Seward and then we took the railroad back. And so that's how expensive it is for an everyday Alaskan. It's beautiful. It is such gorgeous views when you go on it, and it doesn't even bill itself as a luxury railroad. That's just how beautiful Alaska is and while riding the railroad. And so that is just one area that I just hope doesn't go away if we were to sell it to a private company.
Thanks, Representative Mina. And it would be my hope as well. And that would maybe have to be how the deal was structured. And this would be, as Mr. O'Leary has told us, still the only combined passenger freight railroad in the country. And I absolutely think that the tourism and the access to everyday Alaskans, whether it be the whistle stop that goes up to Fairbanks in the wintertime and people can access their cabins or whatever, that absolutely needs to be explored a little bit more. But Having said that, 70% of the railroad's rail revenue, not leaving the real estate out of it, comes from freight. And when I look at their hauling pipe right now for Picca and Willow out of Seward, they will be hauling that pipe on doubles, trucks, through downtown Anchorage for 3 years. And to me, it would make way more sense to bring it into Port McKenzie, put it on a railroad, and haul it to Fairbanks and truck from there. But maybe I'm not thinking of something that's too simplistic, or maybe it's just that we don't have a rail spur that connects Port McKenzie. But if somebody in downtown Anchorage starts to take huge exception, such as the group up in Fairbanks with the Moncho Mine, to the trucking going continually through downtown Anchorage, we're going to have a problem that we could easily solve with a rail spur. Representative Stutes.
Thank you. I have another question. Is there rail accessibility at the Port of Anchorage?
Yes.
There is. So couldn't they haul that pipe? I mean, not to diss Port McKenzie, but couldn't they haul that same pipe from Anchorage up?
Sure, but it would still have to go through downtown Anchorage. But
it would be on the railroad.
Well, the ship would bring it in to the railroad. Oh, yeah. Is that what you're talking about? Put it on the rail?
Right.
Possibly. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
So, and I'm not sure why they don't do it. They could do it on the railroad from Seward as well. The railroad goes into Seward.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
But keep in mind, you know, I think what I read today or the other day, 83 cruise ships into Seward this coming summer. So the chances of the ships in there, and you know, we've talked about the Seward cargo dock and how it's going to need to be repaired, and you know, it just seems to me that the more options we have for our resource development in oil field, the better off we are. And sure. So any other discussion? Representative Mina.
Thank you, Chair McCabe. One other area that was talked about in the Railroad Corporation presentation was the difference between being able to leverage and apply for different federal subsidies and competitive grants as a public corporation versus losing that as a financing mechanism for projects such as Port McKenzie and Northern Extension. And that's a trade-off that I'm still trying to struggle with. I don't know how much we could lose if we're trying to leverage both public and private funding for these projects.
So thanks for that. That's actually a very good point, and it's certainly one that bears some exploration. But we still need to have the framework for a sale in place and see, you know, it certainly might be that, hey, we get a bond, the railroad gets some federal highway or some federal railroad money, maybe a mega grant, maybe a Chrissy grant, which actually are available to other railroads besides, Amtrak is the only federally owned railroad, and I don't think there's any other railroads owned by the states, possibly, but so, you know, the Chrissy grants are for somebody, and it can't be that it's just designed for us because we don't have one. So I'm not sure if they're still available, if it's a private railroad or not. It would certainly be something worth looking into. There's your homework. All right. Are we all done? Cool. Vice Chair Vance, may I please have a motion?
I move House Bill 332, Work Order 33-LS1403/A from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Object.
Okay. There's an objection. Would you like to speak to your objection?
Yes, Chair McCabe, and thank you. I'll speak just briefly. I spoke to some of my concerns about passenger rail and loss of public funding. But, you know, I don't disagree with the inherent concept of selling the railroad or privatizing it. But my understanding is that we don't necessarily need a bill if there was a private buyer that was interested in buying the railroad. And so I'd rather want to see the interest from a private company reaching out to the railroad. And I think we should still be encouraging investors or other private entities to reach out, but I don't want to put our state legislature ahead of private interest.
Representative Sumner.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think while it's true that we don't actually need a bill to sell the railroad. I think that the bill creates that interest and certainly allows parties to approach. It also creates a framework under which we would do it, I think, in the most responsible way, whereas, you know, just a outright sale with no conditions might be relatively irresponsible. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Stutz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, I think a bill also says to the railroad, this is a state asset, and for it to be just lying around, you know, statically and not moving forward as one of our assets is the wrong thing, and we need to move this state forward and utilizing the railroad in whatever capacity to its fullest is part of moving this state forward.
Thank you, Representative Stutz. Any other comments? Okay, would the secretary please call the roll?
Representative Vance.
Yes.
Representative Stutz.
Yes.
Representative Nina.
No.
Representative Sumner.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative McCabe.
Yes.
Chair McCabe.
Yes.
6 yeas, 1 nay.
And so on a vote of 6 yeas and 1 nays, the committee substitute is adopted. Are there any additional comments from the committee members? Okay, seeing no objection or no further comments, HB 332 moves from committee. Seeing no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect that the time is 4:27 p.m. Thank you.